Welcome to Professionally Speaking on Business Radio X. I'm Dr. Alexa Chilcutt.
And I'm Dr. Adam Brooks.
And we are communication and presentation strategy experts.
So what does that mean?
Well, not only are we directors of the public speaking program at the University of Alabama, but we are practitioners of speaking. We also work in partnership with the University of Alabama's College of Continuing Studies to provide workshops for professionals who need to learn how to calm anxiety, craft effective messages, and cultivate dynamic delivery.
When we talk to business leaders, they want to know how to engage audiences, how to create that image of success and appear credible. And what we found is that communication is that common thread that connects all of those elements together. But when people see an outstanding communicator, they often don't see the backstory, the preparation, or the moments that really inspire them to move forward. So after many speaking engagements, people come up to us and they go, "Wow, you were great." But they don't see that with practice and adoption of simple message, that there is an effort to go beyond that, and that we often challenge and scrape our knees doing some of the most basic things.
So today, we are going to interview Boyd Stow. He is basically a serial entrepreneur out of Charleston, South Carolina, and Boyd is the CEO of Aspy Revenue. So welcome to our show, Boyd.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So, Boyd, as a serial entrepreneur, what are some of the unique elements that you face as you're trying to get companies off the ground in terms of the kinds of presentations and communication elements that you're trying to incorporate?
Communication is really all about resonating. A target that doesn't understand you, isn't going to listen to you, isn't going to buy into your product or your idea.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found through trial and error, a whole lot of it, is that if I just did the research, I would understand what their current set of motivations were, their current set of activities and objectives that they're spending money on were. If I understood the target, the prospect, the aim of my communication better, then I could more effectively, more succinctly communicate an idea or a message in a way that either converted somebody from a prospect to a buyer,
to investor
to an investor, so on and so forth.
Sounds like you're talking a lot about you focus on the end result. What do they want to get out of it? What am I trying to accomplish with this particular message?
But also knowing who they are. So, I mean, I think that's key. I mean, when we're working with professionals, that's one of our things. I mean, boys, you hit the nail on the head. It's researching and understanding your audience.
I'll say this, that, you know, you're both exactly right. And it's not about you. Young entrepreneurs or budding entrepreneurs or small business persons trying to get off the ground or trying to get an investment to understand this, it's not about you. You don't need to resonate with you. You need to resonate with the target. It could be an investor. It could be a bank. It could be the ideal consumer. It doesn't matter, but you have to focus on what they already want. What do they already need?
Mm-hmm.
What are they looking for? And quite frankly, they want to know that you understand them, not the other way around.
So, Boyd, tell us a little bit about your background and how communication has really helped you further along your career.
Well, I will say that the vast majority of my communication experience, was learning on the job in the military, having to lead a group of younger guys in very stressful situations, when everything really, really mattered. If there was something that really separates a military experience like that from probably any other, is that you're under persistent, consistent pressure to perform when the outcomes are so dire.
Okay.
When the outcomes matter so much, it's incredible how much you focus. But what's also amazing is that focus, rather than blinding you, it's a different kind of stress situation. Rather than blinding you, it makes you far more receptive to opportunities, existing opportunities. And one of the things that we taught in the military, that we were taught, and one of the things that I certainly incorporate into my relationships with clients and every entrepreneurial endeavor that I engage in, is creating the awareness first. Opportunities, resources are useless without resourcefulness, right?
That's good.
Right. So we have to learn to be resourceful under stress. You've got to be, if a salesperson can't search his or her mind or survey the landscape of opportunities while while being engaged with a prospect in a stressful situation, he or she's going to be far less effective.
Right.
So the one thing that I carried away from that military experience more than anything else was the ability to communicate with a broad group of people with different motivations and egos under high stress situations, and at the same time to be extremely resourceful.
Well, and it's that sense of being mindful and kind of present in the moment, right? So you're feeding off of their energy, what they need, how to communicate most effectively with them. You know, I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges for, you've had a unique experience in that military experience, being in that moment, that stressful moment that kind of created that awareness that you needed that you can transfer over to business application. But for many of the professionals that we work with, it's kind of the opposite. Or they don't see it that way. They have so much information that they want to convey in a small amount of time, and they don't know how to compress it effectively. And so having that mindfulness or that sharpness, that keenness to what's the most important information to convey and what's the most important question that they can answer for the audience.
Right. Well, let's start with what's least important. Let's start with you. You're the least important component of the formula. The individual pitching the something has to take a back seat.
Mm.
Your ego has to be the least important, least involved factor. Because to the extent that you are engaged in trying to manage your own stress, you're going to be less engaged in the prospect. You're going to be less mindful as to their body language. You're going to be less mindful as to the opportunities they could be presenting with just nuanced information. See, the least important thing is you, and the most important thing is what really matters to them. There's just no way that all of the information you so desire to communicate, that all of that information is important to the target. That's just not possible. You've got to start with what already means something to them. What do they already want to hear? After so many different opportunities to pitch to investors, I finally figured out the formula. I finally understood that they only cared about one thing, and it was about money. They didn't care. It seems so simple, but you're making a point that for a lot of the folks that you work with, they want to know how they can communicate their ideas to another party. Really? So it's so egocentric. It's so self-focused. And all of their energy, therefore, is wrapped up in that. The moment that I let go and the moment I said, you know what, I know the information. I know what I'm worth. I know what my value is. I'm going to focus entirely on the other individual and what they want, what their motivations are, where's their money wrapped up in currently, how can I enhance their life? And when I do that, I lose myself in them. Very quickly find myself with a buyer or a client or an investor.
So for all the budding entrepreneurs out there, rather than worrying about how you're going to communicate the message, you need to worry about how you're going to get an audience to understand and listen to you. And that's a different...
Well, and that you're listening to them.
Yeah.
That you're really tuned in to what they need.
So you talk a lot about resonance. And as someone who's coming up, and I think in the startup world, in the world of entrepreneurship, how do you gain credibility with audiences? How do you get yourself in the room and you're talking conceptually about something versus when you're working for an established business and you've already got proof of concept? Talk to me about how you communicate that credibility.
Oh, man. The credibility component is just, it's something that's taking, this is actually really critical, and I'm glad you're asking that question. Relationships don't mean what they used to. Credibility often has a lot to do with establishing a relationship or establishing rapport, correct?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that we're starting to realize, again, on a subconscious level, socially and of course, certainly on the individual level, that people are more resistant to relationships, but far more receptive to value propositions that immediately resonate with their current set of values, the current set of expectations or needs or desires.
Hmm.
So if we can get past this idea that somehow or another we need to establish personal credibility with people,
okay,
and instead leverage the credibility of our message, leverage the credibility of our knowledge, leverage our expertise to establish that credibility, we can more quickly communicate the value of whatever it is we're trying to communicate to the target.
So when you're going in and you're doing a pitch, how do you decide what information is going to be in there and what you're going to lead with and what you're going to leave out?
You know, they say, and I know that this has been said by 1,000 different people, but it's the, you know, tell them what you're going to tell them, then you tell them, then tell them what you told them.
Speaking my language, boy. You're speaking my language.
We say that every day. Every day.
It seems overly simplistic, but, you know, it's not the end-all be-all. It's not the magic formula necessarily. But if you go in with that framework and you focus on the target and you say, where's the connection? Where's the alignment? Where's the resonance? And you focus on that. Okay. I often use the wine glass analogy. Look, why did the wine glass pop? It's because you've got a pitch perfect note that vibrates at a very particular frequency of such a rate that it causes the glass to shatter. Why would you spend time going up and down the scale trying to find that note? If you could just invest a little bit of time in advance and know exactly what that frequency was.
I love that. Okay.
Well, you're also speaking my language because
we're smiling at each other.
You're also talking about wine. So that's already resonating with me. It's like you figured out what motivates me, Boyd, and you spoke directly to that.
Well, I want you to understand that, and I want your audience to understand that it's critical that you consume the wine first and then you resonate.
Right. Yeah. There you go. Because you're loosening up the crowd. Go ahead. Yeah.
Wine consumption is critical to effective communication. You heard it right here on Business Radio X.
There you go.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, we talked in our initial interview kind of who we are. I was the development director for a Catholic school for many years, and the best fundraisers I ever had was because it was at a Catholic school and we were able to serve wine. It was great. It loosened the crowd up. And then I could resonate, and they took out their checkbooks, and it was extremely successful.
Well, let's take that analogy one step farther. I know we're kind of joking around with the whole alcohol thing, but when people are more relaxed, they're more effective, right?
Sure.
When we're more relaxed, we're more effective. I'm certainly not endorsing going out there and consuming any sort of alcoholic beverage or any other drug to facilitate said relaxed state, but I will say that you'll be more relaxed when you're more informed. You're going to be more relaxed when you feel like you're in control. So the equivalent of a glass of wine would be doing your homework.
Right.
Don't assume, but never assume that just because you've given one pitch to one prospect or target or investor, that the same pitch is going to work for everybody else.
Amen.
It's simply not.
So true.
Respect that it doesn't matter if they're a multi-million dollar organization or if they're an individual salesperson. It does not matter. At the end of the day, people make decisions, and people have egos, they have motivations, they've got family problems, they've got birthdays, they've got whatever it is. Get as detailed as you can in profiling your prospect or your target, and you will feel so confident walking in there that you will lose yourself in them, and they will soon be in the palm of your hand.
I love that. I love that. Okay, Boyd, so we're going to wrap up with this question to you. What do you think, and we've kind of, solved this, right? Solved this problem on so many levels. But what do you see as the most pervasive challenges, or what do you see people doing wrong in the business community? You live in Charleston, South Carolina. That is a popping, growing area. You've got a lot of old business, new business, different type. I mean, it's incredibly diverse at this point. Charleston is booming. But and I know that you are in a network of a lot of entrepreneurs. But what do you see as some mistakes? So let's say that Adam and I come in and we're going to do a workshop for people and, you know, give them some tips and tools, or let's say the three of us are. What is their biggest need on a day-to-day business thing? What are they doing wrong?
You know what? That's so interesting that you ask that. I don't know that it's necessarily wrong. I think it's just something that they're not doing. I mean, we all know that the fresher the material, the newer the whatever, the more exciting and interesting it is, right?
Yeah.
You know, you can see a guy or a girl, a speaker, that's given the same speech 1,000 times, and they can give that speech, and they can put as much energy as they want to in that speech, and you're going to know that they've given that speech 1,000 times,
mm-hmm.
right? It loses its what?
It just sincerity. Yeah.
It loses its right, and most importantly, to the person delivering the message, it loses its novelty, and they've lost interest. And interest and passion and those kinds of things, even if they're not communicated verbally, they're certainly communicated in the presentation. We are more empathetic when we really care. We only really care if we're really passionate about whatever it is that we're pushing. And so you don't get in this, stuck in a rut. Giving the same message, sticking with your bullet points, reinvent yourself, reinvent your message, and keep it fresh. I think that would be something that would be counterintuitive, especially moving into a more competitive environment. But I would actually say that as things become more competitive and as people are willing to invest less and less time into doing something like that, providing novelty and creating and stirring passion within themselves and prospects and targets, I think that will actually make you a far more a competitive person.
Boyd, I love everything you're saying. We want to leave off with a thing that we do here every time we talk with folks is tell us a little bit about a time where you weren't effective. Tell us when you scraped your knee. Tell us about a time where you just
walked away and knew that you had blown it.
You know, I got told I blew it. I blew it right after. But it was a great experience. You know, we don't appreciate what we don't experience. I mean, that's the way the brain works. Mm. The physiology of communication is just so interesting. And I was just having a conversation with a consultant just now, right before you guys called me, another consultant, a guy that I'm learning from, has been very successful in his own life as an entrepreneur and consultant. And one of the things we talked about was, how people have this idea that consuming information will develop appreciation. And it simply can't. You have to experience it. So that being said, one of the most valuable experiences of mine was the most devastating. And that was, I was so passionate about the
I can't see that, Boyd. No, go ahead.
I was all over the place, and I was extolling the virtues of this idea and just exactly how groundbreaking and revolutionary it was. I had a guy at the end of the presentation. Now, by the way, I was convinced I had knocked it out of the park.
As you always are when you're pushing.
Yeah, well. But I guess how much time I invested in understanding the table of entrepreneurs. I mean, I'm sorry, the table of investors. Zero. I didn't know who they were. I had no idea what they were trying to find, what kind of projects they were looking to invest in. I had no clue. But for that reason, I spoke over their heads. Mm-hmm. I wasn't wrong necessarily. It wasn't like I wasn't delivering a value proposition. There just was nobody to hear it. Mm-hmm. And I got told. I had one guy actually say when I got done, he said, "I have no idea what you just said."
Bless.
Oh man, sucks the wind out of me and the whole room, but the wonderful learning experience. So I think I'm sure that's not uncommon. I'm sure you guys probably run into that type of thing all the time.
And we've experienced it ourselves, but sure. And that's why we wanted to ask folks, because we talk a lot about what it takes, but it also, you got to break a few eggs in making the omelet of being good at what it is that we're doing to continue the food metaphor.
I'm a big omelet.
No doubt. Well, and really, we're about demystifying this whole process of public speaking. And so thank you so much for joining us today on Business Radio X and Professionally Speaking. And Boyd, kind of tell us how people can connect with you.
Yes, if you'd like to talk to me, but first of all, thank you guys for having me on. It was such a joy and a pleasure, and I hope to do it again sometime. But if you want to reach out to me, you can call me anytime. It's 800-549-5455, or you can visit my website, espyrevenue.com. That's espyrevenue.com, and I'd love to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Boyd, and we hope to speak with you. And, of course, we're going to be coming down to Charleston, so we'll see you soon.
See you soon.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, y'all, for listening to Professionally Speaking, sponsored by Business Radio X.